Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers, to another episode of Your Odyssey Podcast. Today, we're delving into cognitive dissonance, a significant factor in personal relationships and professional relationships.
Most definitely. And I don't know which one is more toxic, but boy, it's rough.
When they rough, they rough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We will explore how this theory affects decision-making, interpersonal dynamics, and your own personal well-being. We'll try to unravel the complexities of cognitive dissonance and discuss strategies for managing conflicting beliefs and behaviors.
So it's the way, it's the dissonance is the disconnect, the thing that friction, because people process information or a conversation or an experience differently, and then they just can't meet about it. They just can't understand each other's
internal and external. Okay, I like where we might dive into that a little bit.
All right.
Buckle up. We on a cognitive dissonance train.
Yay, choo-choo.
Cognitive dissonance theory was developed by psychologist Leon Festinger in 1957, and it describes the mental discomfort arising from conflicting beliefs, attitudes, or behaviors.
Conflicting beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. Okay, got it.
According to the theory, when people experience cognitive dissonance, they are motivated to reduce it by changing their beliefs, attitudes, or behaviors, or justifying. That's a new word.
Oh, I love that word. Oh, that's staying in my vocabulary. I'm justifying over here. Don't talk back to me.
Off the rails.
Oh, just completely. That train
or
just went.
Justifying and rationalizing their conflicting actions.
So you either get really offensive or really defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody does, but I guess certain
it
people
could
do.
Hmm. It could go. It could go. Before this term came into my purview, I would say that I struggle with people's inconsistencies.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it's,
and
isn't
I was
that
like,
maddening?
Oh, my goodness. This whole time, it's because it is. I
yes.
still struggle with them.
I know. I mean, it makes sense. And I do, too. Just stick with something.
Pick like, whatever
just,
it is.
Whatever it's going to be, just you're going to stand behind.
Please.
Just do that. You're flipping left and right and up and down.
And I'm dizzy.
I can't follow that. What do you
right.
do? What's the word?
That struggle with those inconsistencies has been cognitive dissonance this whole time. Yo. You want to hear examples?
Of course you do.
All right. I narrowed it down to three because I
love the triad. We love the trinity.
So one example is a person being passionate about environmental sustainability, but consistently littering.
Oh, that doesn't make no sense.
Not a single bit. A romantic partner seeking equality in the relationship, but making unilateral decisions without consensus.
Mm-mm. Not okay. That feels like two different people.
Mm-hmm. And the third one is an employee advocating for work-life balance, but consistently working late hours.
Mm-hmm. That one feels pertinent. Which do you stand behind?
Like, right.
Do the one or the other, but don't say one thing and do the other.
Oh,
or do the one thing and say that. Let's have integrity. Let's have transparency.
Ooh,
let's have
integrity.
Honesty.
Integrity is hard, people.
Just line it up.
Just
tighten it up.
This is going to be fine. Cognitive dissonance can create, as one would expect, tension. Significantly influences communication patterns, decision-making processes, and overall relationship satisfaction.
Yeah, if somebody doesn't know whether you're the pitcher or the third baseman or out in left field, right. How are you supposed to?
They're usually out in left field, though. Yeah. Really, though. Realistically speaking, they're usually.
That's such a good example.
So let's explore the communication patterns. Cognitive dissonance can affect communication by leading to avoidance of certain topics. Like, I can't even talk about this with you.
Right. You're all over the map. I'm not going to do it.
Mm-mm. Passive-aggressive behavior. Mm. Defensive communication patterns.
No.
Individuals may engage in selective exposure to information. Like, if I don't see it, if I don't engage with it, then it's okay. That's how we're going to process through this situation.
The person who can't handle the communication?
The observer.
The observer. Say that again for me.
Individuals might engage in selective exposure to information. What? So I guess that
could go either way. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So I guess
so. They might engage in selective exposure to information, seeking only sources that align with their beliefs.
Oh, yeah. Because they want reinforcement and validation. Also, you're not going to get that if you're not even aligned within yourself.
Right.
Or you keep flip-flopping.
Right. What support are we actually supporting?
Where are we going?
Yeah.
We windshield wiper. What was that?
Windshield wipers. That's going to...
Yep. They're windshield wipers. So people that flip-flop, wishy-washy, back and forth, and then defend whichever way...
Yes.
Yeah. They're windshield wipers.
I feel an infographic coming up. This is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Have you been exposed to any windshield wipers? You too may be entitled to compensation.
So addressing this cognitive dissonance and communication patterns involves creating an environment of empathy, active listening. See, this is what the people told me about active listening, and I'm like, but I am listening.
But
that's the problem.
I am in the listening. The message is not coherent.
It's garbled.
It's all the things, and I'm listening, and that's why I'm confused. It's confusing me. Doesn't feel good.
And also by being open to different viewpoints. Okay, so that's communication patterns. Okay. Let's talk about the effect on decision-making processes. When individuals experience cognitive dissonance, they are motivated to alleviate the discomfort by restoring consistency in their beliefs and actions. True. So when I, the observer, when I experience it, alleviate the discomfort that I am experiencing.
Oh, I see.
Because I feel like if you have internal cognitive dissonance, you might not. I mean, that's just what you're doing. Until you're made aware, and then you're like, oh, okay. Now I can get it all the way together.
Well, some people. Anyway.
To make better decisions when experiencing conflicting beliefs or behaviors, start by acknowledging and recognizing cognitive dissonance.
Within yourself and with another person. I hear you saying this, but your body language is telling me this, or you're saying this, but I've seen you do this so many times that I can't really reconcile those two things. Help me understand.
Sometimes you got to read the room because they don't even realize what's happening sometimes.
I love that you started and ended that sentence with sometimes.
Sometimes. The first step to addressing your problem is admitting you have a problem. That's the acknowledgement piece.
The awareness. But that's not always going to be possible.
Sometimes
you can't get through the concrete wall.
So we've acknowledged it, and then we can take time to reflect on our thoughts and actions. What's helpful in this reflection is to gather information and consider different perspectives that can help restore these conflicting beliefs. So ask your people. If you got people that you trust and are safe spaces for you, ask them their experience.
Their experience specifically with you. Mm-hmm. Like, when I talk about this, does it make sense? Does it feel like I'm not being aligned, or I'm not speaking with integrity, or I'm not behaving with integrity? And
Talking openly and honestly with others can provide those valuable insights that we may miss ourselves.
You mean to tell me that becoming aware and having an open mind is a good thing?
Yes.
And that it leads to better communication, not only within yourself, but with the people that you are in relationship with. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. 1,000%. Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate.
Yes.
That.
Another exercise in the impact on decision-making processes is to be mindful of your values and long-term goals to help minimize the impact of cognitive dissonance on decision making. So we did an episode about what are your core values. So if you know what those are, that level of self-awareness can help alleviate and minimize.
It's like your North Star is your guidepost. Mm-hmm. Like, these things are important to me. This is what I value. And so when that trickles down to this particular scenario or experience or opportunity, how does that help me navigate it?
Yeah. Okay, so what about these relationships? Because we were talking about, you
what
know, internally. Cognitive dissonance can create a sense of unease and dissatisfaction within relationships. Surprise, surprise. Mm. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have? It's like, if you can't, if you don't understand, or it's not consistent who you're in communication, relationship, conversation, collaboration with, then how can you possibly get comfortable, feel secure, feel safe, and be able to work with that person in whatever capacity? What's the person to do who's noticing it? How do you get through to these people? Sometimes you can offer suggestions, and sometimes that's going to go over like a lead balloon. So that's tricky to navigate. I mean, we know when we're experiencing it, when we're in it, when it's not working, when we're like, why aren't you understanding this? And why do you not have this awareness? And it's frustrating as hell. Mm-hmm. But you can't make someone do that. As much as we'd want to. And so we have to proactively either bring in a mediator or, you know, kind of ditch the relationship. It's not, if it's, you know,
if it's that significant. Yeah. Yes. Mm. And if it's possible. Absolutely. Yeah. Previously, I would try to convince myself that these inconsistencies were insignificant. Like, oh, this is just a one-off thing, not realizing that this may be a pattern of behavior.
Right. If you're giving the other person the benefit of the doubt and like, well, maybe that's just what was going on that day.
Yeah.
It's one little grain of sand. Right?
One thing, and then they 29 start, more times.
They start adding up and you're like, I can build a sandcastle now. And then you're like, well, that's an entire ocean floor. But
that's sometimes how we try to alleviate that dissatisfaction or unease.
It's not that we're pretending it's not happening, but you're just giving a real big benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Assume good intent.
Assume good intent. I love that. Yeah.
Only assumptions, that's really safe to make.
Yeah.
Assume good intent. Mm. So this cognitive dissonance is continuing. We, the observer, are getting more and more dissatisfied with the quality of the relationship. But recognizing and addressing it is crucial in maintaining mutual understanding and satisfaction.
Crucial, right. Not everyone is going to get us connect or converse how we want them to. Mm-hmm. They're not going to agree with us. That's not even the point. But if we can state how that makes us feel or what that does to our side of the relationship, then maybe that starts to bring about a little bit of awareness or healing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That was a capital M.
Okay, let's dive into a few coping mechanisms. We hinted at some.
Tools in the tool belt.
Did you see today's quote? Okay, anyway. Addressing cognitive dissonance in interpersonal relationships involves understanding its impact on the individual's thoughts and emotions and finding strategies to manage and resolve the conflicting elements to maintain healthier and more cohesive relationships. Individually, we can engage in activities that reduce stress and anxiety, such as mindfulness and relaxation techniques. Mm.
So like somebody's talking and you're like, they're out of alignment. They're talking out of both sides of your mouth and you're like, I'm just going to deep breathe over here.
My favorite individual coping mechanism is seeking support from others. and also from individuals who may have experienced similar cognitive dissonance.
Mm, right.
Ain't nothing like finding somebody that's like, you know what? Yeah, that was sideways. You're like, I'm not alone.
Right. That's a beautiful validation.
Man,
I thought for a second I was just, like,
I really was losing it.
Is it me?
It has to be me. Because ain't nobody else said anything to me about it. So it must be.
It must
just
be
me.
The way I'm perceiving mm-hmm. it.
And then the first part of that about seeking support from others, like my community. Y'all rallied.
Stepping up.
I'm like, y'all doing a call to arms. I was like, that's not what that was. I was just getting something out. But okay, thank y'all for being willing to go to war, but we're not there.
But we got
you
back, though.
We can't go to war, okay?
Yeah. But we
are.
We shooting up.
We ready. Say the word. We on the field. And another way individuals can cope is by reflecting on experiences and finding lessons or meaning in the conflicting thoughts or behaviors. Now, for me, that looked like writing it out. Mm. I'm going to write it out. I'm going to journal about it. Sometimes when I'm writing or getting that experience out, I don't know if it's for me, the person, or for people in general.
Mm. Right, right. You don't have to.
No, it's just got to go. It's got to get out of my head or my heart. And a lot of times I won't be able to sleep until I follow through on that piece.
Got
to
move it out. Yeah, because I think in dissonance in general, but in any aspect of your life, especially relationships, it can eat at you, you know, because you're trying to understand it. And sometimes we're trying to understand something that cannot be understood.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's too dissonant. It's too mm-hmm. different. It's too separate. And then that's when you make choices, I guess.
Amen, yeah. Sister. We make choices.
We were saying earlier before we even started recording, the learning and growing. Boy, like I would like to do
good.
It another way, but learning and growing, I suppose, could be a silver lining
right.
of these.
I was talking to a mentor of mine, and hindsight is 2020, and I'm like, well, but I feel like if I would have known then, I would have still been on board, but I would have had an awareness that this is what this is, and I would have been able to adjust sooner.
You could have navigated it
a little bit
knew.
Better. Like I ain't had to go. I had to. Semi-drown. Like, I could have come with my little floaty and been prepared.
Right. You would have moved on to Upside Down Island.
Yeah.
With all
my
preparations.
All
with
of
all
it.
Of the
I
would have
been ready.
All of the things you needed. Yeah. And sometimes we just learn on the fly. We're just going down the second time, third time. You're like, ooh, I think I need
think
a floaty.
I must need a floaty.
I must need somebody to lift me up.
A little bit. Strategies for managing cognitive dissonance in relationships can include seeking compromise and understanding to reduce the tension caused by cognitive dissonance.
Which means, though, I'm just loving this subject so much. I keep just responding to everything you said.
Yeah.
Which means, though, a conversation. Sometimes you can get through and talk to people, and sometimes you cannot.
Child, because the key word in what you said is conversation.
Does everyone know what that is?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm nope.
Okay.
No.
The two-way communication that happens when people are discussing something.
Respectful.
When transparency with a good heart, with good intentions,
mm-hmm.
trying to fix or heal something, just talking it out. Yeah. Two ways, two people talking it out, communicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
not everybody can do that.
Right? I know not everybody can do that.
I was really trying to be kind.
I was trying to be nice. I think no. I know.
I was laying back on that. But yeah, not everyone can do that. And not everyone learns how to do that. Not everyone comes from a family of origin that communicates really well. Or not everyone goes to a school where they teach good communication skills. Not everyone has these mentors or people modeling for them these things, whether it's other relationships, other significant people in your life. And so it begs the question, how does one learn this? And why don't some people learn it? Is it exposure? Is it resistance to that way of being? Is it just unawareness?
All of it. It could be all of that.
Which makes me want to have empathy.
Mm.
Also, when you're in it, it's so frustrating. And it's not like we're saying, well, we're right. We're trying to understand, right? We're just trying to understand. Can we just get to a point where we at least can acknowledge and understand each other's thang or things that mm-hmm. are happening? Yeah.
I mean, and then the nature compromise is like, you get a little bit of what you want and I get a little bit of what I want. It's not me saying you will do it this way.
Right.
Or not at all.
Right. It's not all peanut butter. It's not all chocolate. It's this lovely combination of everybody gets a little something.
On a crepe bananas. It's just... Ooh. There's this... Okay. I'm not... Nope. Anyway. Okay. Another way to manage cognitive dissonance in relationships is to explore common ground and shared values to reduce the sense of inconsistency or conflict. We are more alike than we are different. Like, if we would just sit down and have a conversation outside of whatever the thing is that's causing the friction,
right,
we would realize, like, oh, well, I never thought about it from that way.
I didn't understand that that's how you were feeling. I didn't know that that was your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing, right, for telling me. You know, it, you know, that, the awareness, sides, right?
That which common then ground.
Will, yeah, mm-hmm. And that will lead to empathy and understanding.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know that you heard me.
I feel like if people could just talk things out, if something doesn't feel good in your body when somebody's talking, let's say, hey, can we just stop for a second? Hold on, press pause. When you said that thing, this is what came up for me. This is how it felt. This is what I heard. Is that what you meant? And if so, can you also hear me about how I feel about that? Power of the pause.
If I get stuck on the thing that prompted the feeling, I can't hear anything else that you're saying to
me. Right, if it stops you in your tracks.
I'm right back here. And you just barreling full steam ahead. And I'm like, you just ran me over.
Like, I'm at the stop sign.
And you ran me. Yeah. Like that, using your voice to...
In the moment.
Pause. Wait a minute. Hey, you still running. I'm like, wait. I gotta
come back here for a second.
I got a Charlie horse.
Yeah, right. I got a cramp in my leg about that one.
Wait a minute.
So that didn't feel good. Yeah. Can we unpack that for a second? I think that's a really beautiful opportunity. Hopefully the other person, or whether it's you or the other, depending upon which side it's going, can be in the moment enough to be like, oh yeah,
no,
this
problem
is important. Let's figure out why that doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's that validation of being heard for sure.
I just think about back in the days of landlines and phones that you could hang up, slam the phone down. Like, it was the best feeling ever to hang up on somebody. Like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
And like you just,
yeah, I'm not talking about this with you anymore.
Like, it doesn't feel the same when you press the button. On
yeah,
the
there's no screen. Physical release, of no loud sound. And especially if you're face to face.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, smack your hand on the table? The
just
desk.
Do a lot.
I'm hanging up on you. Just be like, I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up now. That's funny. That's actually a good tool.
Yeah.
If you're like in the heat of that sort of dissonance.
This is
my
flag.
You're
I'm hanging up
I'm
now.
Hanging up. I'm hanging up now. Let's talk in half hour.
I need some time.
I need some time. And then catch up with each other.
Right. Another strategy for managing cognitive dissonance in relationships is being open to reevaluating beliefs and attitudes and finding ways to reconcile conflicting viewpoints.
Open. We don't all know all the things, right?
We don't. Who told you that? My word.
We don't all know all the things. And so if we could listen with really open minds, open ears, open hearts, and just think to ourselves the benefit of the doubt, like, oh, what are you meaning by this? What are you saying? You know what I mean? And if you could just like feel into like, oh, could I have done that better? Could I have said that better? And still use your voice, but don't feel threatened if you are the one making the mistake or not having the open mind. But just notice that. Notice that and use that as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
For discovery.
And then, of course, the ultimate coping mechanism, should you need it, is to seek professional support.
Oh, I was going to say run into the woods. Just run the other way. Run hard. No, I'm sorry. That's, yeah.
But I can see you running. You're like, nope.
Be like, I'm not
doing it. Too heavy, too hard. Nope. I'm out of here.
Nope. Cut and run.
Cut your losses and go.
Let's get back to that. It's a very important
professional
point.
Support for cognitive dissonance in relationships when it becomes overwhelming and impacts your mental well-being or your well-being in general and daily functioning.
Right. Like, I know you know how that feels. Mm-hmm. So you're experiencing this thing that's happening and it feels like there's no resolution. There's no way.
I done all the things that I know to do.
So you talk to somebody or you get in a room with a therapist to help mediate, to help almost translate like saying to you or the other person, do you hear what that person is saying?
They said this. What did you hear?
I love that Simon Sinek.
What I heard you say is,
it's not about speaking. It's about making sure that other people hear what you mean.
Because in communication, the messenger and the messengee are equally responsible.
Right.
Messengee a word?
It is now. The message receiver, messagey.
Messagey. The receiver.
And
messenger and the receiver.
And the receiver.
There we go.
There we go. They're equally responsible for how it goes. And they each have their own perception and their own baggage and their own history and all the things that have brought them to this moment as to why they feel that way about that thing or why that's a trigger or why that's a disconnect.
Explorers, if you find you are constantly struggling with conflicting thoughts and beliefs, experiencing distress or anxiety, or having difficulty making decisions due to cognitive dissonance, it may be beneficial to seek the guidance of a mental health professional, a therapist, a counselor, coach, mediator. They can all provide the necessary support, tools, and strategies to better manage cognitive dissonance and its impact. Remember, you are not alone in this journey.
You can lean on people. You can ask for help. You can do some research. You can lean on your people and talk it out.
Rather than talking it out.
Yeah, baby.
Can we dance it out?
We gonna dance it out.
What you pee? What you feeling?
I feel at Avril. Because it is complicated.
It is.
It's so complicated. It relationships can be even more complicated when there's the dissonance happening. Hard to handle. All right. We're going to do it. This song called Complicated by Avril Lavigne. Let's dance it out.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Man, I forgot about that song. I love that song.
This is my skater girl era.
I love that you had a skater girl era.
I mean, skater
I
girl
not.
Music era.
Well,
it makes sense why my child has a skateboard and vans.
It's all in there.
It's
all part of it. Actually, what I actually was a skate. I did have a skateboard.
That doesn't surprise me.
Really?
No.
Oh, that's funny.
Didn't all hippies have skateboards?
What's she trying to say?
My little hippie flower girl. Yes.
I am a pee hippie.
That's your little animated person. It's just going to be on a skateboard.
That's awesome.
Or a surfboard.
Holding flowers on a skateboard.
Yeah, or a surfboard.
Or a paddleboard.
Any of those. Yeah, I can see that.
That's funny.
So, explorers, let's not make things complicated and get right to today's question of the day.
Let's do it. I love that little segue.
What role does self-awareness play in managing cognitive dissonance in relationships?
The primary role, the only role, the starring role.
Right.
How many ways can I say this? The most important role, the most important thing.
Self-awareness. And when we are self-aware and start to do things to get back in alignment, that sparks positive change.
Also, I think there's a sense of humility in that, right? Like, I don't know everything. Let me listen to what this other person is giving me feedback on. And maybe there's something there. Well, I never thought of that.
Or better
well,
yet,
what do you know?
I'm not a mind reader. Let me listen to understand what this person is experiencing.
Yeah. Self-awareness, a little bit
it
of humility.
Is
open
the
mind, open ears.
Recognition or awareness is the first step in addressing cognitive dissonance. This self-awareness enables us to reflect on our own thoughts and actions, understand our motives, and consider the impact of our behavior on others. By being self-aware, we can better navigate through cognitive dissonance, communicate effectively, and work towards resolving conflicting beliefs or behaviors.
We're not saying we all have to think and feel the same thing.
No, please.
Can
Ugh,
we just
gross.
Yeah, right?
That's very disgusting.
No diversity in thought and beliefs would be terrible. But the understanding piece, being able to understand, hear, validate the other person and communicate and reach some sort of a compromise or connection. Yeah.
That'd be great. Okay. I found a quote, which I feel like, you know, because we get into place and then you say things. I'm like, well, I know you don't know it, but how you know it?
I didn't open it. I did not look.
Today's quote is from Abhijit Nasker. a celebrated neuroscientist, acclaimed author of 100 plus books, world's first poet with 1500 plus sonnets.
Good Lord.
And an untiring advocate of mental health and global harmony.
Wow. Okay. I'm ready for this quote. Okay. It better be good.
He said, "The question is not, do you have conflicts? The real question is, are you aware of your conflicts?"
Wow. Inner and outer. We're talking about all of them.
Every single one.
All the
ways. From the root to the tutor, all of it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It ain't about whether or not you have them.
We got them. You got them. I got them. We got them. Now can we move past that and figure it out?
When I found this and I was looking at the description, I was like, what even is a world's first poet? I still don't know. I have no idea. World's, like world of,
like our global
first poet. I don't know what it means.
Global.
So if anybody know what a world's first poet is or can find and point me in the right direction, I just like to know things. So
is it saying that it's like the world's first poet that has published 1500 sonnets?
Or I think
it,
a title.
It's like a title, like Nobel, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, like Guinness Book of World Records type.
World's first poet.
Which sent me down a rabbit hole because I was like, well, who was the world's first poet? It was a woman. I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Let me women's head bit. Let me put a pin in it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to it.
Oh, we will.
Understanding and addressing cognitive dissonance is critical for maintaining healthy and harmonious relationships and individual well-being. By seeking strategies to resolve conflicting beliefs and behaviors, we can experience improved mental and emotional health, leading to greater overall joy. And y'all know how we feel about some joy.
Oh, we love us some joy. Mm-hmm. Jumping up and down, dancing it out.
Remember, addressing cognitive dissonance can contribute to a more authentic and aligned existence, fostering personal growth and enhancing the quality of our relationships.
Bam, drop the mic. That's it right there. That sentence right there.
Explorers, we invite you to continue your journey towards self-discovery and relationship well-being. We're so glad you could join us.
Thanks for being here with us. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Take good care. Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.